Hello, dear viewers. It's George from Ireland. So welcome back to the channel. In this, I'm discussing the US election. Is it 66 days there's left to go till polling day? Of course, some postal ballots will be mailed out in the not too distant future, and people can vote up to a fortnight early. So, yeah, she certainly bested, Kamala Harris certainly bested Trump at the debate. But you can look back in recent history, and those who won the debates have not always won the elections. So winning the debates, hands down, has been only a small advantage to her. So she declared a candidacy. She rose and rose for about a month. Then she dropped down a little bit. And then since this debate success a few days ago, she's risen again a little bit in the polls. So we shouldn't overreact to just fluctuations in the polls. But the overall trend is her being slightly ahead. But this is why I still think Trump is going to win. But obviously, I'm less sure than I was before. I was never absolutely sure. I gave him a sort of a 65% chance at some point. I'm now giving a 53% chance of winning, because you look at these opinion polls, and the polar polls has her, you know, 2.5% ahead. But you looked at various polls. You know, the Redfield and Wilton strategies one on the 12th of September, she's 2 points ahead of Trump, you know, and the Ipsos one, 11th September, she's 4 points ahead. Another one, 11th September by Ipsos, she's 5 points ahead. Another one, 4 points ahead, 5 points ahead. There was some where there was a dead heat in The Economist. There were even some about a week ago where Trump was ahead by a point. But you have to factor in these polls. They usually overstate the Democrats' support by 2 percentage points. Like the poll of polls said that Hillary Clinton was going to win the popular vote by 4 percentage points. She won it by 2 percentage points. The poll of polls overstating Biden's support. He still won the popular vote by 4.5%. Or, you know, you could do the same with Obama almost every time for decades. Now, polling has got more scientific. Why does it do this? Partly lower turnout amongst the Democrats. Their support is disproportionately younger. There's lower turnout amongst the youngest voters in the 18 to 30 bracket. Elderly people are more likely to vote. They're more Republican inclined. Now, real geriatrics in their 90s, it turned out, is lower, partly because they usually got dementia or Alzheimer's or something. So senility means that they don't cast their ballots. Some of them will also die before polling day. Though if the postal ballot is in the post, well, then it's still going to be counted. It's fascinating in 2000 when a man actually died, a candidate died, but nevertheless, he was deemed to be elected. He died before polling day. It was too late to redo it. So that's why I think that the Republicans will still win it, because the polar poll says she's ahead, 2.5%, which means in reality that she's ahead half a percentage point. Now, winning the popular vote does not guarantee you win the Electoral College, because you look back to the year 2000 to the Trump, not Trump, what am I talking about, George W. Bush versus Vice President Al Gore. And of course, Al Gore won by, it was a 500,000 votes on a national scale. But it all came down to Florida, Dade County in particular, the hanging chads, and or as Bill Clinton quipped, it was in fact in the Supreme Court where George W. Bush won by one vote, 5-4. Or likewise, where Trump losing the popular vote by 2 percentage points, or is it 3 million votes to Hillary Clinton, and yet winning the Electoral College almost decisively. There were some examples like that in the 19th century. Now, partly the United States didn't even pretend to be democratic till the 19th century. So we're talking about something different. Women couldn't vote. African Americans, even after they gained their freedom, they didn't have full legal equality. There was severe racist discrimination against them in the erstwhile Confederacy into the 1960s. So the crucial thing is the Constitution has the states elect the president, not the people. And the people will represent the electors to cast the electoral votes for each state. Now, in case you don't know the system, a number of electoral votes is allotted to each state, and is digressively proportional. So the smallest state has a number of electoral votes equal to its number, to its congressional delegation, as each state will have two senators, regardless of population, from the smallest population, Wyoming, to the greatest, California. And each state will have at least one representative, again, irregardless of population. So Wyoming having one representative in the House of Representatives, despite its population warranted about a quarter of a representative. The two Dakotas could share one, but nevertheless, so a minimum congressional delegation of three electoral votes for the smaller state, according to population, quite a few of the small ones, higher and higher and higher, in accordance with the number of representatives they have in the House of Representatives. The number of electoral votes for each state can go up and down depending on the change in population in real and absolute terms. That's why New York used to be the most populous state. It's been California for decades now. So what really matters is not the red states, which are safe for the Republicans, nor the blue states, which are secure for the Democrats camp, but the purple states, as in could go either way, swing states, they call them, you know, so some swing states in particular, those are the ones that really matter. Like Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina to some extent, Georgia, Arizona, have I forgotten any more Sunbelt states, could go either way. And so that's the real battleground. So that's why you can quite easily lose the popular vote and yet win the Electoral College. And the Electoral College is a bit skewed towards the Republicans because they're a bit more popular than small states. Yes, there are examples the other way around, where states with very small populations in New England are Democrat inclined. But generally speaking, in the Midwest, these very large states with a very diffuse population, a very low population density, tend to be Republican, those rural states with lots of farmers and so on. The Republicans, another thing is there's lower social trust. They're less likely to answer these surveys, to respond to the phone, to pick up the phone to, why should I speak to an anonymous person I don't know? I grew up in a very small rural community. No, I'm not going to tell you. It's none of your business. Stop spying on me. I don't like these academics, these people with whatever New England or Californian accents, calling from a polling company, a median company, a university, anti-intellectualism, suspicion of all that stuff. So low social trust, so less likely to respond and say, yeah, I'm voting for Trump. And that's why, despite attempts to correct for this, they usually don't. But maybe they finally got the data science right. So that's why, at the moment, I think that Trump will lose the popular vote by about one percentage point, but yet still win the Electoral College very narrowly. Remember, 270, that's the magic number, 270 electoral votes. But, you know, I could be wrong. I could yet change my forecast. So, yeah, there are 538 electoral votes. So for each state plus Washington, D.C., which has a number of electoral votes equal to the congressional delegation of the least populous states. And remember, last time Biden won an absolute majority of the vote, not just a plurality. It was a 51.5%. He also won a majority of the states, 26 states out of 50, plus Washington, D.C., as well as obviously the Electoral College, therefore. So that's why I think it's going to be nail-bitingly close. There's a wild card factor. There's a small chance Trump will die in the next 66 or so days, or be so badly incapacitated he's almost dead by a stroke or a heart attack, or indeed be assassinated. Now, that could happen to Vice President Harris, though I think it's less likely. I mean, they've probably got equally good security details around them. But, you know, it seems to me that she's in excellent health for a woman her age. Trump obviously is morbidly obese, and it's not just the amount he eats, the way he doesn't exercise. He can't really exercise, cannot walk more than 100 meters, has to go in a golf cart. But is the what he eats, ultra-processed junk food, he's stressed out by his criminal trials and all the rest of it. So the chance of someone with his actuarial stats dying in the next 12 months is high. It's something like 13%. And that goes up and up in the next few years. If he is inaugurated on the 20th of January as president, the chance that he'll die before the end of the electoral term is about 50%. The chance that he'll either die or be incapacitated, as in be totally gaga, or have something which really makes him more than wheelchair bound, a stroke or something like that, which made he's not just semi-paralyzed, but loses all cognitive function, is very high. So then J.D. Vance will be president. And I suppose J.D. Vance being so unpopular and having maybe the Democrats need to ram home that point a bit more. So I could change my prediction. As I say, I detest and despise both candidates, but I realize that Kamala Harris is the lesser of two evils. And I find it difficult to say that. She's not imbecilic. She's not deranged. And she tells the truth mostly. I'm worried about her visceral hatred of children. So that will be a very, very dark chapter for the world opening up in that sense. If she wins, she would at least try and save Ukraine. She'd be less vicious towards Palestinians. So these are very difficult balances to make. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.